New data on long COVID has found that there are three different types of the condition. Experts from King's College London call these subtypes and each have their own set of symptoms. To take us through some of their findings, I'm joined by Professor Claire Steeves, clinical lead author of the study from King's College. Good morning to you, Claire.
Good morning.
I would imagine at this time that the catch-all or the umbrella term long COVID is becoming kind of quite ambiguous or non-specific and unhelpful. So take us through what the three subtypes are.
Yes, that's right. I think what we've shown in this study is that we can divide this catch-all term into at least three subsets. And the three main ones, which were seen across all of the variants, were one which was had a flavour of neurological problems. So things like brain fog, headache, anosmia, so loss of sense of smell and change in sense of smell, going on for more than 12 weeks. So that was one. And that was often characterized as well by this sort of fatigue, this prolonged fatigue as well. The second one was actually seen much more frequently in the very first wave of the COVID pandemic. And that involved lots of breathlessness and chest pain and breathing problems. And we think that might have been because that first wave, before people were vaccinated, there was much more involvement of the lungs in the condition. And then there's a third group, which we see in all of the variants, and that's one which is really quite multi-system. It has also got sort of fevers coming and going, but changes in, for example, the skin, some palpitations, changes in hair, all of these other different symptoms that are coming in. And this one looks maybe like it could be driven by changes in the immune system.
So neurological, respiratory, and perhaps immune.
Multi-system.
Immune, or let's just call it the any other symptoms, all the other symptoms category. Is there any understanding as to why it is that people would fall into one of these subtypes or another?
Well, one of the things we looked at was, as I said, when they got the illness. And so we saw that there was a much greater number of individuals, proportion of individuals that were getting the one which was associated with chest symptoms, lung symptoms in the first wave. So that's one pointer. But otherwise, we looked for sort of differences in sex or comorbidities and so on. We didn't see any clear pointers which would say which subgroup someone would end up being in. All of them were slightly more common in women than men, but men and women could have all of them.
Is that in women because of shortcomings in how we treat women's conditions or health conditions more generally, or was there some other reason that women might have a predisposition to long COVID?
Well, that's a very interesting question, and we don't really know the answer for that. But this is something that's seen across all of the studies of long COVID, that women are slightly more at risk than men. And of course, there may be sort of many factors that play here. One are sort of hormonal factors and how the hormones interact with the immune system. And we see that in some other conditions as well, which might mean that women are more at risk. But then also there are differences in behaviour of women and men as well, which might to a certain extent explain some of the differences.
Okay, but what I'm getting from you here is that the biggest determining factor would appear to be gender, because you're not seeing anything in age or comorbidities. What about ethnicity?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question, and we didn't answer that in this particular study because actually we had too few people in a way reporting from ethnicities other than white British. But other studies have looked at that in some detail, and it appears that when you're looking with surveys and population data, actually there seems to be no real difference between the risk of getting long COVID and different ethnicities. But when you look in healthcare records, you see quite a marked difference where we're not identifying this in people that are from non-white ethnicities. And I think that's really important that we sort of try and reverse that and make sure that we have the same access to healthcare for people of all creeds and colours and ethnicities.
And Claire, what do you think is going to prove to be the overlap here between what we used to call post-viral fatigue and now long COVID?
So I think the conditions have some similarities. Certainly, it's you know, this is not the first illness where we've seen a prolonged fatigue happening. But I think that there are some departures. So the centrality of loss of sense of smell, which is so clear in COVID, really does carry over onto long COVID. And some of the other brain elements of this neurological cluster also look a little bit different from chronic fatigue syndrome. So I think that we've got a virus here that has a particular sort of, in some people anyway, a particular tropism towards the neurological cells, in particular the sense of smell areas of the brain. And that makes it quite unique from other viruses. So yes and no, there are definitely some similarities, and I think that research and understanding of long COVID will shed light on other conditions. But I also think there are some things that are somewhat special about COVID-19 and the way it interacts with those cells from the top of the nose.
Go back to your three different subtypes, please, and talk to me about the recovery periods that are associated with them. Are there some that are where recovery is taking longer than others?
Yeah, and we did look at that because we were able in this study, people were reporting the symptoms on a daily basis. So we could see how long people were reporting the different symptoms for. And we saw some differences between the groups with recovery times. And in particular, sort of those chest symptoms and neurological symptoms tended to go on a little bit longer. So people might be, have some interest in looking at that and seeing whether or not that might help tell how long their particular conditions are moving. But I would say that this study, in a way, is retrospective. It's looking at times when maybe quite a few people weren't vaccinated and also in different variants. And so I think it's difficult to then extrapolate that to the situation now when we've got a new variant, which thankfully causes a lower level of long COVID.
Okay. Professor Claire Steeves, clinical lead author of that study from King's College London, thank you very much.